American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Thursday, April 14th, 2005. And once again, it is time for Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny that is trying right now, at this moment, to enslave you. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, which I paid. So you just go to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com, and now, without any embarrassing redirection or other extortionist means, you get to be forwarded straight on to my website, where you can look at my live journal, read my crazy little poems or the demented scribblings, and get all the links for the news show, which I publish at the bottom of the page, along with some music links, so that you should be buying these albums. Everybody's buying these albums, right? Like, I mean, everybody should be going out there, getting the music that's running in the background, and buying the albums, because realistically, it's hard to find good music these days. I mean, yeah, okay, there's all the torrents and everything, but realistically, when it comes down to finding really good music, what do you rely on? Really, you rely on the word of mouth or recommendations, or you do, like, a genre search. If you've just discovered, like, say, Goa Psytrance, then you're going to be researching Goa Psytrance and try to find names of groups and stuff like that. But I think more and more people are falling in love with weird and obscure genres, and they have, like, five or six bands within a genre they really enjoy. Whereas before, it used to be like, I'm about this band, I'm about Kiss, I'm about the Beatles. And maybe that's one of the signs of our times. What do you think? I'm not too sure. All I am sure of is that this is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, 76 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, and there's more radio stations coming, baby, very soon. We're going to be spreading the virus all over the world, and there's going to be nothing that can stand in our way. Yes, alas, we will be able to reveal ourselves to the Jedi. So we're getting straight into some feedback here. Dear SKTFM, I stumbled upon Rant about 2 years ago while screwing off at work one day. Good for you. I've been hooked ever since, and you, Sim, Smokey, and all of your other groups and media really opened me up to realize a lot of things that I kind of feared would happen in the future actually are a reality now. I've been catching up with the Newsreel archives and hope to get the current week within the next few days. Oh boy, I think that I'm at 29 or so. I wanted to let you know I've been burning your Newsreel episodes to CD and handing them out to my friends that are not yet up to date with technologies of this century, i.e. computers and the internet. Well, good for you, because that's the number one thing you can do to help us, is to tell people, burn it to disk, and give it away, which you are freely available to do, as I have previously stated. You are, in fact, free to distribute this any way you see fit. You can do whatever you want with it, make remixes out of it. I don't care. I've also burned your patrolling episodes of DVT and have been popping them in at my house during intermission of our movie nights at my house. I have an old school projector and a stadium seating in my living room. Cool. I've managed to spread the disease quite well. Well, it's actually spread the virus, not the disease, but that's okay. Quite well amongst my friends, and they seem very eager to stay informed. Anyway, let me get to the question at hand. I was captivated by the patrolling episode where he introduced Matzer Cleanser Juice Fast. Ah, yes, the Master Cleanser Fast. I spent the last couple of months researching it and bought the book by Stanley Burroughs. Now, this is obviously a very, very switched on wog, because he didn't just take my word for it. He spent a couple of months researching it, bought all the books, checked it all out, and now he's good to go. The last year and a half, I have lost over 55 pounds doing a modified Atkins approach with exercise. I've been tobacco-free for 8 years, and I thought, what the hell? Anyway, I did the fast for 10 days until my mother called me and freaked out. That messed up my mental attitude enough to break the next day. I was going to do it at least 20 days. That's fucking hardcore, man. I've never done more than 8 days myself. What I would like to know is, as a fellow Lycan the Cow man, what does your diet consist of now? Maybe you can relay some of your favorite non-toxic meals that keep you going week to week. Sorry this got so long. I'm still pretty tweaked from coming off the fast. I feel like a million bucks. Keep up the good work, man. Sincerely, Choi Wookiee, the other white meat. Well, you know what? To be honest with you, I started my fast a little while ago. And unfortunately, my life is pretty dynamic, which it is a big cop-out, and I broke the fast. Yes, it's true, I broke the fast. But now that I have read this, I realize that, you know what, maybe I don't have to go shopping today, because you know what, I still have all my components of my fast inside my fridge, and there's absolutely no reason in the world why I couldn't do that fast again. And it's true, when you do fast, for some reason, your metabolism speeds up and you feel like a million bucks. Honest to God, you come out of the fast feeling like a rocket. Now, when it comes to breaking the fast, what do you do? Well, this all depends on your lifestyle and how active you are. If you're an inactive thud, like the majority of the populace out there, you could probably go vegetarian. But if you're not doing that, the name of the game here is, if you've got the ability to do this, here is the name of the game. The name of the game is organic. You can eat whatever you want, provided it's organic. You want to eat organic steak? You go right ahead. You want to eat organic whatever? You go right ahead. But the name of the game is unprocessed, or, well, raw, unprocessed, and organic. That's what you want. Make sure you take garlic every day. Now, this is something that everybody goes, what? No, get some garlic in you every day. Make a point that if you're cooking your meals, get some garlic in you. And I mean real garlic, not the concentrated stuff. I mean the garlic you buy in the little onion, you peel it, and it, you know, stinks and everything. Yeah. Eat some of that every day, because there are so many benefits to that one stupid little onion. It's just retarded that people don't eat that every single day. So as my dietary supplement that I would recommend, other than, you know, a good multivitamin and all the rest of it, make sure you get all your minerals. Make sure you load up on the garlic, because if you did, well, I bet you won't get sick anymore. Just kind of my own personal guideline, because let me tell you, garlic is some crazy shit. Now, moving right along, let's get into a sort yourself out, which is kind of a lightweight sort yourself out today. But something a friend of mine said to me the other day when I commented that I was paranoid, he said, "You're not paranoid if everyone is really out to get you." Now, at first, this sounds like a crazy statement, but there's some rings of truth in it. As you remind us daily, the core political tyranny that is trying to enslave us, who does everyone work for? The core political. So maybe, in an indirect way, everyone is out to get you. Ooh, that's a dangerous thing to say. Same applies to the net. If you're not paranoid, you can't keep a computer working very long before viruses, spyware, malware, and the likes take it out. Since everyone is out to get you, you're not paranoid, even though everyone tells you you are. This means that everyone else is delusional. The only problem with logic is Occam's razor. If it's a lot simpler to say you're one person is crazy instead of everyone else is, what do you think? And that's from Melchizedek. Well, okay, well, number one, you got to remember in mind that paranoid is the label for the conscientiously prepared. Or for the consciously prepared, actually, conscientiously or conscientiously. But for the consciously prepared person, they're called paranoid. So you've also got to understand that people go, oh, he's paranoid. Well, there's a difference between paranoid. Paranoid, the way that is really implied, means things like, you know, I hear voices telling me the angels are dead, everything's fucked, blah, you know. That's actual paranoia. When you are paranoid because you're worried about the planet cracking in half, or that the government may come kill you specifically and not everybody, then that's a little bit more something to be concerned about. If you can't get a, if you can't function because of fear, well, you know, you might want to take a look at some issues that maybe, you know, enslaving your life a little bit. You don't want to be locked down because of fear, okay? That's not something you want to be. You don't want to be all tied up in big knots inside because of fear. That's not good. But being paranoid doesn't mean that you're just, you know, if you're prepared, you're paranoid. No, it just means you're aware. And that's the way I'd like to say. People go, you're paranoid. No, I'm not. There's nothing wrong with me. Paranoid is a condition which interferes with your mental process. I am not paranoid. I am simply prepared. So I don't think there's such a thing as uncrazy as well. I mean, the sane, there's all these sane people that they have sane thoughts and ideas. So I think insanity now is really, can you function? If you can function, you're not crazy. If you are, you know, unable to function, like you're mutilating yourself or you're wandering out in traffic, then at that point, yes, in fact, you've gone nuts. Which doesn't mean you're permanently nuts. It just means you're kind of nuts right now. And, you know, we can come down off of nuts soon. Getting into some news, core political slavery of ISPs. Now, how could you possibly be considered paranoid with a story like this and then this? Not content with creating a continent-spanning lawsuit-sharing network using P2P, person-to-perpetrator, technology that records companies' consortium, the International Freedom of Phonographic Industries, IFPI, now, this is in England now, you now wants your ISP to sign up to a new code of conduct that these guys wrote. A code of conduct. How about you kiss my ass? That it was helpfully drafted with the help of the MPAA. A warning, though, you probably won't like it. Here's a sample. Under the new code, ISPs would put in place filtering technology to block services and or sites that are substantially dedicated to illegal file sharing or download services. They would retain data beyond what law enforcement agencies require with the aim of helping track down copyright infringement. They'd hand that data, plus your identity, over to the IFPI and the MPA if there was even a complaint, not a court order, against you. You guessed it, copyright infringement. Oh, and you'd have signed or clicked something to agree to that anyhow. Want more? According to the draft, the duo want ISPs and network operators to enforce terms of service that prohibit a subscriber from operating a server or from consuming immense amounts of bandwidth where such consumption is a good indicator of infringing activities. A summary of the draft can be found at the Electronic Digital Rights site, latest EDRI grant. We wondered if it might be some clever hoax called the IFPI. Oh, yes, the draft, they said, breezily acknowledging. The draft is for real. This is a real item. They really want to do this kind of level of core political extortion. And to back up their modest proposal, the MPA and IFPI aren't afraid to wave their big stick at the ISPs and network operators. Speaking last month at the invitation of European Telecommunications Network and Operators Association, the ETNO, the head of the IFPI, John Kennedy, good man, said, quality digital content is a key driver that makes consumers embrace new services. You invest billions in your pipes and cables and satellites, but without content, you have empty pipes and boxes. At this stage, I'm not even asking for much of anything by the way of financial commitment. I'm asking for your time and energy, your commitment, and some social responsibility. Tony Soprano couldn't have put it better. Nice content-carrying pipes you've got here. What a shame if anything were to happen to them. Now, about this little agreement we've got for you to look at. Now, that's totally what this is. It's all threats. It's all threats and extortion brought about by big business. There is, once again, I draw your attention to the fact that there is zero fucking ethics going on in the core political market. So everyone going to business school right now, don't even bother going to your ethics class. And you could probably even challenge it with your prof saying there is no ethics in the business world. This is yet another insanity notion that there's some sort of, semblance of ethics. I mean, this is just a joke. And expect an interesting discussion next Monday when this issue, the draft code of conduct, will be discussed at the meeting in Geneva of the WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organization, which, as you know, has a stellar record for defending the little guys against claims of copyright infringement. If all that has you fizzling, then you're in good company. Along with UK's Internet Services Providers Association, there will be an ISPA representative next week's meeting. If they are anything like as annoyed as the spokesman we talked with, they're so close to nuclear that they're already glowing in the dark. This is obviously something the FBI, IFPI, and MPA, have worked together. ISPA spokesman almost spat. They have made proposals like this in the past, but doesn't necessarily mean they have gone anywhere. They should really be going through the established takedown procedure. Some of these proposals contravene current laws and go beyond others. If you take the example of requiring subscribers to allow their identities to be given out, that's something that ISPs take very seriously, and only when required by law enforcement. They are not a law enforcement authority. But realistically, aren't they? If they're the ones enforcing the laws and they have their legal team of lawyers going around suing everyone under the sun, are they not, in fact, law enforcement? Because it seems to me that they are. But sometimes it seems like the MPA and the IFPI feel this latter point is only a minor detail that could be fixed in time. France's ISPs have rolled over already. A version of this code was signed last July by three French ministers, representatives of the music industry, major ISPs, and telecom operators, and it allows collection societies and the like to create files from telecom traffic data supposed to be copyright infringers to mutualize the battle against the privacy of works, or against the piracy of works, sorry. Some subscribers have been cut off and others have been sued for file sharing. In the UK, the ISPA is not happy about the growing pressure. ISPs have obligations to protect the privacy of their subscribers, said an ISPA man. This can be seen as the thin end of the wedge to get access to everyone's organization, but these suggestions are impossible and impractical. The idea of blocking access where someone is using a lot of bandwidth just doesn't work. And what if they're using a webcam or voice over the internet? All these similar ports are some of the file sharing systems. There's no real way of determining just because someone's using a lot of bandwidth that they're contravening copyright. Yes, this is yet another reason why I sit back and I look at the... And bear in mind that there is no loss of money. There's no actual motivation to do this because the sales haven't suffered. This is, you know, they claim, oh, we're losing millions of dollars, when in fact they're not. The sales are going up. More people are learning about music. More people are buying music. And yet these morons are still out there screaming about peer-to-peer networks, screaming that all this is just bad. And it's ridiculous. The whole notion is totally ridiculous. They've made more money because of peer-to-peer. Really, someone should just send those guys a big rubber band to put around their heads and snap themselves the fuck out of it. Accountability much? This news story is just bizarre. This is yet another reason why our legal system is messed up. A psychiatric patient who gouged out both his eyes while in a state of religious delirium is suing two Montreal hospitals. I notice how he's not suing the church, claiming that they're responsible for failing to prevent his gruesome self-inflicted injuries. Now blind, disfigured, jobless, and socially isolated, the 47-year-old man is suing McGill University Health Center and the Douglas Hospital. According to a statement claim filed Friday in Quebec Superior Court, this is in Canada, Maurice Arsenault is a paranoid schizophrenic suffering from a bipolar disorder. Time to check out. It has been in and out of the Douglas since the age of 19. So he's been there for like 30 years. In August 1998, he was being treated as an outpatient when he began hallucinating about God and demons. Again, nasty. The court document says that Arsenault told his caseworker and doctor at least twice that he wanted to be hospitalized, but they changed his medication and increased the dosage. Things soon spiraled out of control. On August 30th, the plaintiff went to Dorval Airport on a mission to find God, reasoning that to reach heaven, he needed to take an airplane, which makes a lot of sense, actually. And then he returned home and cut a telephone cable and TV wires to his home and cut up all his credit cards. Again, another good idea. He cut the telephone cable TV wires. Wow, so far he's on a good roll. And he cut up the credit cards. Well, I don't see anything crazy yet. Later that day, he returned to the airport to ask travelers for help finding God. Well, you know, there's lots of guys wearing robes at the airport. They'll help you with that. And when the RCMP approached Arsenault, he told them he wanted to be sent to Douglas. Please take me to the Nut House. The plaintiff remembers asking the ambulance attendants who escorted him to restrain him because he was afraid of himself, the lawsuit states. 15 minutes after he was brought to the Douglas, Arsenault was put into an isolation room. He looked out the window, asked God to forgive his sin, and recalled the Bible passage, eye for an eye, before extracting his left eye and throwing it on the ground. Medical personnel rushed in and put the eye in a glass of water. Arsenault was transported to the Montreal General Hospital, a branch of the University Hospital Center. And it goes on to relive how this complete screaming psychopath ripped his eyes out of his head. Which, you know, is kind of a bummer. But quite clearly, it's not the hospital to blame. It would seem to me that it would be the religion is to blame. Because he cited the Bible before he did it. When was the last time, you know, some kid before he shot the other kids in the house went, I must get the power up, must eat all the pills before the ghosts get me. Bang! No, it doesn't happen. Yet, when people blow away other people because God told them to, nobody says shit. So I put it to you that, once again, if you claim video games kill people, well, let me tell you, I'll answer that your religion has killed way more people than any video game could even hope. As a matter of fact, if video games were as effective at causing people to kill people as religion, the army would be using it as, like, just as a number one weapon. I mean, shit, if all these video games are so dangerous, why don't we send video games? We'll do airdrops of video games in these Middle East countries, and then they'll just kill each other in this massive frenzy of video game violence. No, wait, they're already killing each other in a massive frenzy of violence, but that's, oh, it's religious-based. Yeah. Kind of a personal sort of guideline for me that I try to at least have the same standards right across the board, especially when the people persecuting my video games have a Bible in one hand. Anyway, getting past that, to the Kirkuk Civil War. Now, this is in Iraq, which is generally, you know, a giant sandbox shithole anyway, but U.S. military officials are concerned that ethnic tensions could turn into widespread violence, perhaps civil war, in Iraq's northern city of Kirkuk, setting a dangerous pattern for the rest of the country. Kirkuk oil fields hold around 9 million barrels of proven reserves, and the Kurdish talk of succession is at a fevered pitch. Well, they got oil. Can't let there be civil war with oil. There's all sorts of civil war in Africa where people are, you know, in the Congo there, where they're turning to cannibalism, but no one gives a fuck about that. A block of Kurdish-led politicians received the majority of seats in the provincial council after January's elections is now threatening to fill most key positions with Kurds. Arab and Turkmen, also known as Turkoman, politicians protested with a series of walkouts and now refuse to show up at council meetings where Kurdish leaders insist on speaking in their mother language. Now, all of this is, of course, what? This is all culturally based. I put it to you that the only way we are going to sort the Middle East out is to remove all of that culture. The culture over there in that part of the world is so fucked, okay? It's so far gone. There's so much hatred tied up that there's no way for all these cultures to work together. It can't be done. We've been trying for how long? And now, is it easier today to get these cultures working together or harder today to get these cultures working together? Honestly, is it possible? At some point, you got to throw your hands in the air and say, dude, you know what? It's not going to work. This shit is not going to work. There is no conceivable way that we are going to be able to get these people to get along. It's not going to happen. Okay, I believe in you know, the children of the future and all the rest of it. But the children will not be the future if we keep downloading this crazy, hate-filled operating system that everybody's toting in the Middle East. Maybe, I don't know, maybe if we were to some way to use, I don't know, mind control or something, just to get these people to get the fuck along. You know, everybody's all pissed off about their language. And realistically, a lot of their concerns, well, you killed my people, I killed your people, they kill, we kill, our kill, 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 kill. More people are starving every day, and there's no way, there's no end in sight. So the only thing that will sort the Middle East out is blatant, across-the-board forgiveness. That's it. Which sounds fucked. And it's totally unforgivable, you know, some of the stuff that's gone on over there. But the only way we can do is if everybody just throws up their hands and says, it stops now. That's it. No more killing. No more retribution. No more revenge. Our gods do not want us to do this. Because right now, all of the gods over there, and he said, she said, I said, we said, jihad said, whatever. Okay, it's all just more and more death. And it won't stop. And the suffering continues. And it's a big fucking loop. Now, my short-term solution to this, I've got two solutions. One, take everybody's kids away. Reprogram them. Give the land back to the children when they're done. Don't tell anyone where the borders is. Create some sort of system where everyone just kind of gets along. Now, this, of course, is totally draconian and psycho-Orwell. So, you know, that's not really being received too well. My other notion is to nuke the entire Holy Land. Let everyone know that this Holy Land thing is just completely fucked. So we're going to nuke the Holy Land. We're going to get everybody out. We're going to just flatten the whole Holy Land. Mecca's gone. Israel's gone. Babylon's gone. The birthplace of Christ. All that. Jerusalem. All that shit gone. Get rid of it. Okay, we're going to pave it into fucking dirt. No one's allowed to go there for several hundred thousand years. And maybe that'll work. I doubt it because there'll be a million people all flooding to protect the Vatican and flooding to protect this and that. Realistically, religion is more trouble than it's worth. Really, these old mud hut religions are causing so much problems in the Middle East. You can't tell me I'm wrong. I mean, say what you like about New Age religions, you know, but I haven't seen any, Wiccans out there with car bombs. I haven't seen any Huna Huna crystal crowd guys, you know, going on crusades. Doesn't really happen. Let's all be cool. I mean, Scientology, although being a violent, deranged, manipulative cult that has it in their doctrine under the Fair Use Clause, where they actually say they're the only new quote-unquote religion that says it's okay to kill people, which it does under their Fair Use Clause. Because I'm against Scientology, they're allowed to, like, you know, murder my wife and rape me and stuff me in a little fucking crate somewhere. That's totally cool with the Scientology religion. That's why it's such a great religion. But anyway. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I call that a religion? I meant violent psychotic cult. Anyway, sorry. It seems getting away from the Middle East, because once again, you know, Iraq is fucked. And it's gotten so fucked right now that, you know, if I was the artist on this page, I'd just simply, you know, rip up the page. Sometimes I understand why God flooded the planet. You know, that whole Noah thing? I understand. It's the most intelligent thing you could do sometimes. I really think so. Now, Kennedy is guilty. Apparently, another Kennedy in the news today. Supreme Court Justice Anthony M. Kennedy is a fairly accomplished jurist, and he might want to get himself a good lawyer. and perhaps a few more bodyguards, a Supreme Court justice. Conservative leaders met in Washington yesterday for a discussion of remedies to judicial tyranny. Decided that Kennedy, a Ronald Reagan appointee, should be impeached or worse. Phyllis Schlafly, a doyen of American conservatives, said Kennedy's opinion forbidding capital punishment for juveniles is a good ground for impeachment because he didn't want to kill kids. To cheers of applause from those gathered at a downtown Marriott for a conference on confronting the judicial war on faith. Schlafly said that Kennedy had not met the, quote, good behavior, end quote, requirement for his office, and Congress ought to talk about impeachment. Jesus Christ. Next, Michael P. Ferris, chairman of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, said Kennedy, quote, should be the poster boy for impeachment, citing international norms in his opinion. If our congressmen and senators do not have the courage to impeach or remove from office Justice Kennedy, they ought to be impeached as well. Well, shit, let's just impeach the whole deal because they did something we don't agree with. Not to be outdone, lawyer author Edwin Vera told the gathering that Kennedy should be impeached because his philosophy evidenced his opinion striking down anti-sodomy statute, upholds Marxist, Leninist, satanic principles drawn from foreign law. Wow. What other books has Edwin Vera written where she would quote a justice, a Supreme Court justice, as being Marxist, Leninist, and satanic? Now, every time someone throws satanic in the news, I just feel like curling up into a little ball and crying. Because, okay, Satanism doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. These fucking satanic principles that these people are talking about, they don't know what they're talking about. They're talking about a religion that doesn't fucking exist. Satanism, okay, was a myth. It was a myth brought about by witch trials and by Christian conservatives who wanted to fabricate an enemy. Until Anton LaVey developed the Church of Satan back in the 60s, which was nothing more than ritualized atheism and a good way to get laid. Okay, and that's it. The Satanic Bible, which I have a copy of, I have read. I've also read Satanic Verses and Satanic, The Satanic Witch and Satanic Rituals. I have not read Satanic Verses. That's the book by a buddy there who I told a comedian wanted to geek. But anyway, I've read these books. They're fucking tame. They're really, really tame. They read like self-help books with some teeth and fuck everybody else. That's what they read like. They're not totally evil. The guy was a showman. He was a ringmaster. He was a fucking organ grinder, okay? That's all he was. Yet this... Now, what we got here is we've got a lawyer and an author, okay? Which, and I'm an author, so I guess, you know, we're on the same grounds. But this lawyer and an author does not... She's talking about satanic principles. Like what? What are these satanic principles? You call them a Marxist and a Leninist. Maybe that could be argued, but a satanic principles? Wait, what fucking principles? There are no satanic principles, you stupid bitch. It's fucking... It doesn't exist. And yet, they'll use words like Satanism in this obviously pro-Christian mudhut religious fervor, okay, to, you know, vilify this guy whose statement is, you know, maybe we shouldn't kill gay people and maybe we shouldn't kill kids. Well, obviously, he's fucking insane. Ominously, Vera continued by saying his bottom line for dealing with Supreme Court comes from Joseph Stalin. He had a slogan and it worked very well for him. Whenever he ran into difficulty, no man, no problem. What the fuck does that mean? The full Stalin quote, for those who don't recognize it, is death solves all problems. No man, no problem. That's Stalin's quote. Nice fucking quote. Presumably... Vera had in mind something less extreme than Stalin did and was not actually advocating violence. But then, these scary times for justice, anti-judge fervor may help President Bush's judicial nominees, but it also has the potential to turn ugly. Oh yeah, obviously, Vera continued by saying his bottom line. Oh, okay, Edwin Vera. Edwin Vera. I, for some reason, thought that was a female. But he's still a stupid bitch. So, my mistake, the Edwin Vera guy who called him satanic and stuff like that, it wasn't a woman, which I should have actually known that, because women have this tendency to check their facts before they go barking off at the mouth. That's why I'm not a woman. And this guy's quite clearly not checking his facts. So, my mistake, this dude, this Edwin, isn't an Edwina, it's a guy. So, what he quoted to deal with the Supreme Court justice was, no man, no problem. Which, so we've got this guy, this lawyer author, who called a Supreme Court justice satanic, is following the Stalinist approach of no man, no problem, which, you know, Stalin, I don't know if anybody else checked this, I'm correct me if I'm wrong here, but didn't Stalin murder, like, oh, I don't know, some like 30 million of his own fucking people? Like, why don't you quote Hitler, you know, because he killed less people than Stalin did, you know, but that's okay. So we got these Christian conservatives quoting one of the largest mass murderers in history talking about killing a judge. I would say that if ever there was a need to tackle someone in the interest of Homeland Security, it would be this psycho fucking Christian conservative author lawyer guy. That's just me, though. Now, the banks are up in arms, and they're saying, send more data. The Bush administration plans to extend its mighty neural networks into international banking in hopes to discover terrorist activity, the New York Times reported in a Sunday edition. Woo! Are they really expanding neural networks, or are you just using that as a fucking buzzword? The scheme would allow U.S. Treasury Department to maintain databases of international money transfers to and from the USA, creating additional regulatory burden on banks struggling to comply with a myriad of regulations already imposed by the so-called Patriot Act. Oh, muffin. Now, I hate the Patriot Act, but I hate banks more than I hate the Patriot Act, which that says a lot, okay, because I fucking hate the Patriot Act. The results of this additional data mining, the article suggests, will be a flood of largely irrelevant data to federal agencies already awash in irrelevant data. But the administration's overall approach has been to get all the data it can now and figure out how it might be used to catch terrorists later. Right. Since the administration's grant scheme for monitoring the public's every move, such as Matrix and the Total Information Awareness, fell into disrepute. Okay, well, hopefully, I haven't heard too much about the Matrix falling into disrepute other than me screaming out going, it's a cookbook, but it appears to be taking a piecemeal approach, providing building its surveillance society one step at a time. Of course, they got to turn up the heat one step at a time, and we have to fight it every single step. We have to destroy it. We now have, or have in the works, biometric RFID driver's license following a federal standard with state motor vehicle databases linked to electronically as a requirement for the Real ID Act, biometric RFID passports, bulk demands by the federal government for airline passenger records, the CAPS, now called Secure Flight, airline data mining scheme, and banking and other financial data in federal hands, and enriched it with personal data from retail privacy invaders like ChoicePoint. Now, you take this, you add to this financial data your purchasing records, everywhere you use your debit card, everywhere you go, everything you say, everything you do, it's everywhere. Not to mention we've also wait for the facial recognition programs to go in on the traffic cams, and of course the public webcams, the payphones, which will be backup. You know, that'll be something that I bet we're going to see a huge resurgence in payphones. Because quite quickly, people without credit will not be allowed to have cell phones, and there'll be some sort of restriction. So, in order to get these cameras out into our society, how do you suppose they're going to do it? Well, they'll probably put out camera phones, and these pay phones with cameras on them, the government will be able to look through the camera phone. It's not just a video camera; it's a phone, and we have to be able to check on our phone to make sure it's not being vandalized. And of course, it's got a high res camera, so we can watch everywhere inside of malls, inside of everywhere where there could be a phone. Plus, we have automatic facial recognition software running in the background. So, if you so much as walk by a phone, when you are wanted, you will send off an alert. You see how this goes? This is not that science fiction, guys. This is happening today. Now, in Canada, it seems they're talking about a big Canadian military reorganization, which, let me tell you, that is a long fucking time coming. Canada's new defense chief wants to revamp the command structure of Canadian forces under a new Canada Comm banner that unites the Army, Navy, and Air Force under a leaner, more focused leadership similar to the U.S. military's approach. Now, you must understand that the Army, Navy, and Air Force are already united in Canada under one banner. That's why it's the Armed Forces. Now, the fact that scares me is they're talking about doing it similar to the United States. Defense Minister Bill Graham told a military symposium in Ottawa yesterday, the upcoming defense policy review will make a key recommendation, which he says the brainchild of his new Chief of Defense Staff, General Rick Hiller. Earlier this week, General Hiller told the House of Commons Defense Committee the integrated command approach is better suited to the realities of fighting terrorism and other non-traditional military threats. Integrated command approach. That's like SOCOM, I guess. It's a reorganization of the structure, Mr. Graham told Military Conference, sponsored by the Queen's University and the Institute of Research on Public Policy. CanadaCom, or whatever you call it, is the structure. Now, the problem here is, okay, there's a few problems with the Canadian Army right off the top. Well, first of all, it's fucking top-heavy. We have too many officers, too many chiefs, not enough Indians in the Canadian Army. If it was up to me and I was going to redo the entire Canadian Army, we'd turn into a special operations nation. We'd run, we'd have a set number, X amount of special operations teams. These would be anywhere from 12 to 30-man teams. Team A, Team B, like the SEAL teams. Only we have a bunch of them, like a couple hundred of them, of highly trained, specially selected, uber selection, top-of-the-line troops. In order to be one of these guys, you've got to have your shit dialed. And then we use these guys like SAS teams all over the world. Because we do not have the forces to hold a land war anymore. We do not have the forces to do occupation anymore. So therefore, to cover that, we have to go into a covert and, well, essentially, overt and covert espionage warfare. Because that's what it's happening. And the only way to do that is with a special operations nation. That's my own personal take on that front. Now, the media in the cyberpunk world, they call people such as myself and Sumerian medias. And there's some hardcore medias in the world. These are the people who go out into the battlefields with the cameras and shit like that. Be it right, be it wrong, be it smart, be it dumb. They go out there with the cameras and try to get people the news. Well, Reporters Without Borders says today it was very worried that U.S. forces have detained a CBS cameraman of Iraqi nationality. The International Press Freedom Organization Reporters Without Borders is calling for the U.S. government to release the CBS cameraman. A CBS cameraman had shot last week while he was covering a gunfire in Mosul. When he was shot, an Iraqi freelancer was armed only with his camera. Okay, well, I don't really feel bad for a buddy who got shot, because if you're wandering around the street with a fucking camera, okay, well, there's a war happening, you get shot. U.S. Army statement said the CBS camera was being held because he might pose an imperative threat to the coalition forces. Well, you got to check him out. U.S. military suspects him of links to rebels because video footage found in his camera shows he was on the scene of several bombings shortly after they took place. Well, depends how shortly. If the bomb went off and he filmed it, well, then yeah, I might know the bombs are going off. But, you know, whatever. We'll see. We call on the U.S. Army to release him very quickly if no evidence is produced to support his alleged collaboration with the insurgency, the Press Freedom Organization said. Yes, true. If they don't find anything, they gotta let him go. The CBS cameraman isn't the only reporter being imprisoned in Iraq because of his contents of his camera. Iraqi police continue to imprison a reporter for the satellite news channel Al Arabiya. Correspondent Wael Issam was stopped in Baghdad International Airport on March 28th. His tapes were confiscated and he was taken to prison. The station manager and his mother are pleading with the Iraqi government to release him because he haven't charged him with anything. Okay, well, that's bullshit. And the network's Washington bureau chief, Tahal Al-Haj, told me nothing. The Dubai-based network has also contacted, has told me, noting that Dubai-based network has also contacted Iraqi's foreign ministers for help. So, you know, these reporters are getting grabbed in this war-torn nation. Now, the reporters know that they're in harm's way when they're over there shooting this crap. This is a risk you take. I'm not saying it's right, but it's war, and this shit happens in war. So why was Wael Issam arrested? It seems that like the CBS cameraman, he had been covering the resistance. Arab's assignment, this is the guy they arrested at the airport. Arriba's assignment editor, Najim Ben Shihab, said that before his arrest, Assam had been working on a documentary on the Iraqi city of Fallujah, where resistance to the U.S. occupation is strong and U.S. military assaults have killed hundreds, if not thousands, of civilians. Well, yes, but Fallujah gets bingo quarter from me because the U.S. brought in buses to bring these motherfuckers out of there. Hey, you know what? Your whole area is covered with insurgents, so everyone who's not an insurgent, please leave. No? Great. We're going to pave it. Wael went to Fallujah many times, and he filmed a lot of stuff there, says Ben Nab Shahib. He has so much footage of armed groups and so-called resistance that he was bringing the material to Dubai to make a short documentary piece about Fallujah and the armed groups there. These two events together indicate what could be a disturbing amount of press censorship in Iraq. If you're a journalist who wants to cover the U.S. military, fine. but learn something about those who are fighting occupation in the broadcast, the outside world, so they can learn something about the fighters, that's increasingly difficult. Well, you know, now this news story here is complete left-wing press, right off the top. Now, if he's in Fallujah running around in a major war-torn area, okay, trying to get film footage, and he's working with the insurgents, and I like how the how left-wing press calls them insurgents rather than terrorists and rebels and people killing U.S. soldiers. Now, the people who are killing the U.S. soldiers in Iraq, okay, they don't get any quarter from me. Why? Because I side with the U.S. Yes, but what we're doing over there is wrong. Yes, granted. So that means we have to get them out. But don't start murdering messengers. These insurgents in Fallujah, okay, who if this guy's running around in Fallujah filming all these insurgents, guess what? You've got alliances with the enemy. And you know what? That also means that you get arrested. So far, I don't have a problem with this guy being arrested. I mean, they haven't charged him, which is bullshit. They should list his charges and say, you know what? You're in conspiracy. And they should probably find what kind of charges he's got going on. But, you know, some of this left-wing press, man, you know, a lot of people out there. Don't get me wrong. I like Naomi Klein, too. And I think there's a lot of things that are true in what's being said. But you can't just, you know, go, oh, well, you know, oh, they, you know, those poor insurgents in Fallujah, they're killing a lot of people over there, okay? Yeah, well, the U.S. is killing people, too. That's because it's war. Okay, they go in there. It's shitty they're at war, but they are at war, and they got a job to do. So you have to back your people and attack your government. Don't attack your people and then turn a blind eye to your government. It's real easy to attack the soldiers. See, that's why all the left-wing press loves to do this shit. It's real easy to take out the frustration on the soldier. It's real easy to say, fucking soldier, you fucking baby killer. It's easy to do that. It's a lot harder, you know, to realize that you have no power against your government. You see? So to deal with the frustration of not having power against their government, they're attacking the messenger, which is, in fact, the soldier. And I only hope that these poor bastards, you know, they can get out of there with having, you know, in one piece and hopefully keep their mind, body, and spirit in one piece, too. Biometric follow-up. Now, you remember I reported on this a while ago, that dude in Malaysia had a Mercedes. They grabbed him, stripped him naked, cut off his finger with a machete, and left the dude naked, bleeding on the side of the road so they get his Mercedes because there was biometrics in it. Here's some follow-up. When a gang of carjackers stuck in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia last week, I covered this, they just didn't want to make off the car. They chopped off the tip of Buddy's finger and took that too. The gang struck on 28 March, and the first forced the victim to the crime to activate the car's fingerprint recognition system to start the car, but when they realized the fingerprint would be needed every time the car was started, they cut his fingertip off and dumped him on the side of the road. The crime has led to calls that biometric systems should work only if the necessary body part or finger or eye, say, is attached to a living person. Well, hell, that would be handy. The case demonstrates the need for liveness detection, says biometrics expert Farzan Devry at the University of Kent, UK. A fingerprint sensor could be developed that detects sweat, for example, rendering an amputated fingertip useless after 15 minutes. Vendors are not pursuing liveness detection vigorously enough, he says. Well, of course, because vendors don't give a shit if you get your finger cut off, because biometrics to them is just another sales feature. It's something they can add on to generate more what? More money, because that's all they care about. If you think car manufacturers give a shit about your personal safety, you is lying to yourself. Now, this in the land of wingers and negligent discharges of weapons. The last weapon I want to see negligently discharged is a bioweapon. How in the fuck did this happen by accident? I have no idea. A bioweapon infectious misfire. Thousands of scientists were scrambling Tuesday at the urging of global health authorities to destroy vials of pandemic flu strain sent to labs in 18 countries as part of routine testing. The rush, urged by World Health Organization, was sparked by a slim but real risk that the samples could spark a global flu epidemic. The vials sent by a U.S. company went to nearly 5,000 labs, mostly in the United States. So, these vials sent out by a U.S. company, a private company, sent out 5,000 vials. The risk is relatively low that a lab worker will get sick, but a large number of labs got it. And if someone does get infected, the risk of severe illness is high. And the virus has shown to be fully transmissible, WHO's influenza chief Klaus Storr told the Associated Press. Okay, so we've got 5,000 vials, at least, because it went to 5,000 labs. So we got at least 5,000 vials. Let's guess there's more than one, but we'll just go with the minimums here. We'll go with 5,000 test tubes full of a nasty, global, spreadable contagious virus. It was not immediately clear why the 1957 pandemic strain, which killed between 1 in 4 million people, was in the proficiency test kits routinely sent to labs. It was a decision that Storr described as unwise and unfortunate. Yeah, no shit, mistakes were made when we sent out the 1957 pandemic strain to 5,000 labs. All we need is one of these labs, just one, to have someone who's not on the up and up who snags one of these vials and sells it for a couple $100,000, because biological weapons are a poor man's nuke. The particular bug was an epidemic virus for many years, Storr said from the UN Health Agency's headquarters in Geneva, Switzerland, where he's not going outside and his stuff cotton in all of his windows. The risk is low, but things can go wrong as long as these samples are out there, and there are still some out there. The 1957 strain has not been included in the flu vaccine since 1968, and anyone born after that date has no immunity to it. Now, this is interesting. Is this just some FUD to get everybody to go run screaming to their doctors to get another vaccination? Oh, God, we'll pay anything for it. A huge money-making scam to get people to take the medication so that they can prevent this deadly flu, which accidentally escaped. Accidentally got mailed. Like, who the fuck did that? I mean, I'm sorry. This whole story just smells really fishy. And you want to know who else is smelling something fishy? How about hunting some pussy? Feline lovers holding pictures of cats. Now, this is just, this to me, this particular story. Granted, I'm not a huge cat person. But this is the dumbest fucking story. And you know this is going to be receiving huge press. But this is yet another example of why shit is bad. You don't know that people are turning into cannibals in the Congo, where they're boiling children alive in front of their parents, okay? Nobody gives a fuck about that. But feline lovers holding some pictures of cats, clutching stuffed animals, and wearing whisker faces faced off against hundreds of hunters at a meeting in Wisconsin to voice their opinion on whether to legalize cat hunting. Residents in 72 countries were asked whether free-roaming cats, including any domestic cat that is under the owner's direct control or any cat without a collar, should be listed as an unprotected species. If listed as so, the cats could be hunted. The proposal was one of several dozen included in a spring vote on hunting and fishing issues held by the Wisconsin Conservation Congress. The results, only advisory, get forwarded to the State of Natural Resource Boards. Now, that doesn't mean that these guys are going to be like, come on, Jim, we're going to go out there and dust out some pussy. Woohoo! No. What it means is if they're out and about and there's like a bunch of cats in a field, they can blow away the cats because they're varmints. Statewide results were expected Tuesday. La Crosse firefighter Mark Smith, 48, helped spearhead the cat hunting proposal. He wants Wisconsin to declare free-roaming wildcats an unprotected species, just like skunks and gophers. Anyone with a small games license could shoot the cats at will. At least two other... Okay, now, granted, these cats, these aren't like bunny rabbits who destroy vegetation. These cats are killing everything they can catch. They'll kill birds, squirrels, all the other cute, fluffy animals that everybody loves. At least two other Midwestern states, South Dakota and Minnesota, allow wildcats to be shot. So this has already happened and have done so for decades. Minnesota defines wild or feral cats as one with no collar that does not show a friendly behavior, said Kevin Kyle, the state's Department of Natural Resources. Now, people think that hunters are just these evil motherfuckers, and they're not, okay? They're not just going to go out and be like, there's Fluffy, bang. No, it doesn't work like that. Every year in Wisconsin alone, an estimated 2 million wild cats kill 47 million to 139 million songbirds, according to state officials. That's a lot of shit. Despite the astounding numbers, Smith's plan had been met with fierce opposition of cat lovers. No, the cats must control the world! Critics of the Smith's idea organized Wisconsin Cat Action Team and developed a website, don'tshootthecat.com. Some argue it's better to trap wild cats, spay or neuter them before releasing them. Sure! And who's paying for that shit? In Madison, about 12 About 1,200 people attended a Monday evening meeting at the Lions Center. More than 250 people in a typical year, but less than 3,000 or so who took part in the debate in 2000 over whether or not hunters shoot mourning doves. One of the attendees was Katie Francis, who wore cat ears, whiskers, and a nose, and a sign that read, "Too cute to kill." For Francis, the cat hunting thing has brought me out because it's very extreme. No, bitch, you're a Furby, okay? Sorry. Just the thought of these people wearing cat ears, you know, this middle-aged, you know, fat bingo mamas, you know, wearing cat ears with the whiskers on, screaming about cats, that just cracks me the fuck up, you know? A little part of me gets all juggalo about that. And, you know, she'd be like, "Look at my cat!" You know, and some hunter grabs it and shoots it right there. You know, just, I'm sorry, but this is just so, people's priorities are fucked, man. Just completely done. Political attention has been drawn to an art show. Now, this is where, you know, when was this coming down the pipe? You knew this was coming. Organizers of a politically charged art exhibit at Columbia's College's Glass Curtain Gallery thought their show might draw controversy, but they didn't expect two U.S. Secret Service agents would be among the show's first visitors. The agents turned up Thursday evening just before the public opening of Axis of Evil, A Secret History of Sin, and took pictures of some of the art pieces, including Patriot Act, showing President Bush on a mock 37-cent stamp with a revolver pointed at his head. The agents asked what the artist meant by their work and wanted museum director Carol Ann Brown to turn over the names and phone numbers of all the artists. They wanted to hear from the exhibit's curator, Michael Hernandez de Luna, within 24 hours, she said. They just want to make sure this isn't something more than a statement. What the fuck? This isn't the first time Hernandez has had a brush with the feds over a fake stamp. In 2001, authorities said they suspected he was behind the bogus stamp that bore a black skull and crossbones and the word anthrax as it was sent through the mail during the height of the anthrax scare. They suspected he was behind that. But the way this article says, it looks like he was behind that. But he wasn't behind that. It was just suspected that he was. This is, you know, more and more the news is getting just scary with how they put the spin on this to vilify the artists. It's insane. Today's daily fact is how to kill a cat. Today's daily hack has to do with Peacefire, a great organization that needs your help. Almost all internet users in China and the Middle East are blocked from accessing political websites that criticize the government of their country. After the release of the Circumventor software in 2003, internet users in censored countries have had ways to get around internet censorship by asking someone in an uncensored country to install the Circumventor software for them. If you install the Circumventor software on the machine, the uncensored country gives you the URL, which can give people to censored countries such as China. Now, this is great. By installing this program on today's Daily Hack, you will be able to help people in third world nations and in these totally oppressed nations get free access to information. And I don't care who they are, they need to be informed. And I think that's a worthy cause for every walk. And that's all I have for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. Meow. Bang. Fuck off. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of the people willing to fight for freedom and the right to hunt cats. Forley, Dave, The Great Ghost, Jesse, Drake, Philip, Robert, Michael, Melican, Anonymous, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Triad, Matt, Austin, David, Brian, Jonathan, Host Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael, Daniel, Art, Diarmude, and Justin, along with Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Alan. New subscribers, the reinforcements this month were Druid, Y, Simaru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, End User, and Christopher. Now bear in mind, my views on hunting cats are only my own. My subscribers may or may not apply to the fact that all cats must die. If you would like to keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca, click on the donate tab, and while you're there, check out the new cat hunting cam we've got set up so you can target in on Fluffy and dust that little cat box shitting motherfucker. Special thanks to some hard-wrecking netrunners who killed a bunch of cats. Ricky Rocket, Dead Code, Valerian, Soab, Pig Monkey, No Delete, Soul Trance, Melican, Mr. Drake, Cook Perspective, Mega Progman, Cornelius, Zen Penguin, Silage, Phoenix, Kwame Kazalot, Lead Scorch, Bonsai Poppy, Dead Duck, and another giant dead cat. No digital baptisms today, but that's okay. If you need to have a digital baptism, let me know and I will sort you out. And a special thanks to everyone for their assistance and gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like music in the background, be sure to pick up the album Are You Weightless by Zero G, and that's zero with an X. I'm going to leave you now with some good cat-killing music. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.